Kamishvantaya chatmana Sahadena manena Vadamanena manyuna Karoti vikraham kami Kamishvantaya chatmana Yes, please, someone else. Person. Karamishu towards creates. Towards creates, yes. Vigraham enmity. Kami the lusty person. Karamishu towards other lusty people. Antaya for destruction. Cha and Atmana of his soul. So this describes material life and the main driving force of material life. And we will look for an escape from that. With the growth of the body, the living entity, in order to vanquish his soul, increases his false prestige and anger, and thereby creates enmity towards similarly lusty people. So we hear, as we grow up, there is this drive to destroy our soul. How do we? How is this done? One increases false prestige and anger, and enters into competition or enmity with other materialistic or lusty people. Purport: In Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, verse 36, Arjuna inquired from Krishna about the cause of a living being's lust. It is said that a living entity is eternal and as such qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. then what is the reason he falls prey to material, to the material, and commits so many sinful activities by the influence of the material energy? No? Do you understand the question? We are eternal and we are qualitatively one to, with the Supreme Lord. So how can it come that we become victimized by the material energy and commit sinful activities? How? We are eternal and qualitatively one. And Krishna, in reply to this question, Lord Krishna said that it is lust which causes a living entity to glide down from his exalted position to the abominable condition of material existence. This lust circumstantially changes into anger. Both lust and anger stand on the platform of the mode of passion. Lust is actually the product of the mode of passion, and in the absence of satisfaction of lust, the same desire turns into anger on the platform of ignorance. When ignorance covers the soul, it is the source of his degradation to the most abominable condition of hellish life. To raise oneself from this hellish life to the highest position of spiritual understanding is to transform this lust into love of Krishna. Sri Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya of the Vaishnav Sampradaya, said, Kama Krishna Kamarpane. So this is now the transformation. I think we all know this vital energy, this elan, it is desire or lusty desire. How to transform it? Please listen. Due to our lust, we want many things for our sense gratification. But the same lust can be transformed in a purified way so that we want everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anger also can be utilized towards a person who is atheistic or who is envious of the Personality of Godhead. As we have fallen into this material existence because of our lust and anger, the same two qualities can be utilized for the purpose of advancing in Krishna consciousness. And one can elevate himself again to his former pure spiritual position. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore recommended that because in material existence we have so many objects of sense gratification which we need for the maintenance of the body, we should use all of them without attachment for the one purpose of satisfying the senses of Krishna. That is actual renunciation. It's a very deep purport, and I acknowledge that it's a morning time, and sometimes when we hear a long text like this after a morning program, we are not able to grasp all the points, but you may like to read this in your own reading time. 3:31:29 it is. So let us again go through the verse. Sahadehena manena vadamanena manyuna karoti vikraham kami kamishvantaya chatmana. With the growth of the body, the living entity, in order to vanquish his soul, increases his false prestige and anger, and thereby creates enmity towards similar lusty people.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale
Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesha Sunyavari Shaskatyane Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Dhanidanda Vimita Sanda Yadveta Gadadara Shivasari Go Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, my dear devotees, there are obviously many perspectives in which we could approach this verse, which describes the destruction of our soul due to the influence of two big qualities, material qualities. It is lust and it is anger. In this morning's lecture, I would like to speak about how to transform these and make these enemies of the soul our friends in spiritual life. Is this a good idea?
Very good.
Yeah. Good. Thank you for your encouragement. I would like to again bring your attention to this one part of Srila Prabhupada's purport, which is very deep. Please kindly focus. It is only two sentences, but they are very deep, so you must be very focused. As we have fallen into this material existence because of our lust and anger, the same two qualities can be utilized for the purpose of advancing in Krishna consciousness, and one can elevate himself again to his former pure spiritual position. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada tells us how to do this. For instance, this lust, we could also call it psychologically the elan vital. I think that is a French word. Who of you speaks French? Niels, you speak French? Or no? You speak French.
Yes.
Elan vital, does it sound French or not really? Elan. Elan. Vital. Yes. It is a drive to life, a vital thing, and that's how you could also call this a big drive, you know, of desire. It makes a person rise in the morning. It makes him go to the to prepare for his daily life, and it makes him jump into the existence. Now, when he is in the unfortunate situation that he looks at objects of sense gratification, let us call it a birthday pizza, then, I want this. It might happen to a few of us today, and then we go for it. I just want to bring the principle out here. Of course, it's the same principle as looking at the opposite sex and then this elan vital, this drive jumps on and makes us act. So the way we can transform it, we can purify this so that we want things for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This morning I was somehow, you know, every human being has physically weak phases where he usually is sick, but I'm somehow alive, but I feel very, everything takes long because of physical weakness. So I remember this morning I wanted to actually stay in my room and chant, but then I thought, Radha Gopinath is there, and Prabhupada is there, the Vaishnavas are there. Let me try to give satisfaction to Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. So I converted that desire which wanted to me to stay in my room and to just be a little for myself, and I took it, no, let me for Krishna, you know, it's last day and Radha Desh, let us go to have darshan. That is better, a better program. So this is when you do this purposefully through your life, you learn to just handle the switch that, okay, what is better now for Krishna? If you learn this little subtle art, it's just a then you can transform this drive, which is often pushing us for selfish considerations. You can transform it and make it, purify it. The same way when you feel this anger, you know, instead of directing it here and there and everywhere, direct it to the atheistic propaganda, to the mayic world, and say, ah, this is really not good, and detach from it with that drive and that energy of the anger, you know, just I, this is too much for me, and you just go and turn the other way around. You use the energy and turn it around. This, my dear devotees, is possible when you learn about one very amazing fire within you. It is a fire which burns in the heart and in parts of the brain. What we all know is the first fire, the fire of digestion. Krishna says in the Gita that he is that fire. It's an amazing energy. We swallow foodstuffs, and they are, by that fire of digestion, they are burnt, and the valuable parts from the foodstuffs is brought into the metabolism, the organism of the body, and it gives you physical and mental strength. And the parts which are not useful for the body are transformed into waste, and it is eliminated by the body. Just please think about this amazing quality within you, that you can transform really foodstuff into physical and mental energy. It isn't it a miracle? We all know when there are times when this fire of digestion doesn't burn. It happens in India, unfortunately, often due to various influences, and you eat and it doesn't turn the food any longer into physical and mental energy. Who of you has had this experience? I had it. You eat and instead of becoming stronger, you eliminate it too quickly without having drawn things out of the strengths out of it, and you become weaker. And it can come to a desperate position if it's only for 1 day, 2 days. 3 days is already very disturbing, but if it can be very long, people can die from this. Do you know this? When this fire of digestion is killed and it doesn't work any longer, you starve although you eat. The body starves. It's that serious, Manjari. So the fire of digestion is just a little miracle. We put the foodstuffs in and it turns it into such a valuable source of energy. This fire of digestion, we all know, we operate with it. You will go most probably tomorrow, not today, to your breakfast, and those of you who do not take breakfast in the morning but wait for the noon meal, they will latest experience this fire in the afternoon when they digest the noon meal. But there is another fire. There is another fire. Bhagavati, it is, you are welcome. There is another fire. It's called the Sadaka Agni. It's a mental fire that helps you to digest the experiences which you make in your life, to process them, to learn from them. When this fire is weak, people find it difficult to deal with challenges in life and become burdened and pressed down. I know you all, I told yesterday a devotee, we grew up together in Europe and we know each other. And I know some of you took 2 years to digest a particularly disturbing event. I know one person in this room took 2 years because the event was maybe overwhelming, and also maybe this inner fire, this mental fire of digestion was not burning very strong. No? We can see, when I look through Europe, I can see a few devotees who suffer from a very weak inner sadhana, not sadaka, sadhana agni. It's a fire which is very important. So human beings have a fire inside that can digest unfavorable emotions like also lust or disappointment, distress, or any type of stress. And when this fire, this internal fire is strong, they can very nicely process the events of life. When it's very weak, they get depressed. When it's very weak, they get easily discouraged. When there is no success in their life, or when success comes slowly. So this sadhana agni, or mental fire of digestion, can be fueled by 3 things. Good relationships, favorable circumstances which are created, and spiritual practice. And I will go through each one of the 3 things that and how it is built. First of all, is this of interest for you?
Oh, yes.
It is. Yes. Oh, good. yeah, because I have prepared myself for this, and if you would say no, Maharaj, we are not in a mood today. What will I do? I will be hopeless. So let me first of all, this will be new. This is from Ayurveda, and it is also from, you will see soon from Prabhupada's utterances or words on this. I would first like to speak about the need of good relationships. In any ashram, brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, sannyasis, good relationships help us to have a very strong mental fire of digestion, which helps us to deal with unfavorable situations in life. The most probably oldest study in the world, Shishi Rara Gopinatha Ki Jai, has been done in Harvard. It started in 1938, and it runs still with thousands of people who are contributing to this study. They wanted to study what makes a human being happy and satisfied. Because after all, that is what many people are after. No one wants to be unhappy, but they want to be happy either spiritually or in other ways. No? And in the beginning, those who took part in the studies were interviewed. What makes you come happy? And they said, well, if I can develop myself, if I am healthy, that's important, and if I have decent amount of wealth, decent, not, I don't need more than I need, but something, huh? And so on. And as the study was going on, they found that none of the three were really the things which made people happy and content. They all came to the, at first, surprising understanding that it is relationships which make us happy. And relationships, not just any type of relationship, these hello, goodbye relationship, these small talk relationships. How is your health, Prabhu? No, not so good. Okay, Tika, I'll see you tomorrow. this type, no. They are not contributing to the inner contentment, such relationships. But it's relationships where you feel understood, where you can be the person you are. You don't need to twist yourself into something you are not. It's where you can give affection and receive affection, and very much, and it's very surprising for the spiritual people, it's relationships where they can get guidance. And I'm not speaking here of guidance from senior devotees or gurus or senior members. No, I mean just even a peer relationship where someone inspires you and you feel, oh yeah, wow, good. I let me try that, and so on. No, something where you can grow. So this type of relationships, first you need to feel understood, and then very important, you need to be autonomous. You need to be able to be yourself. I remember when I was a young boy, before Krishna consciousness, I wanted to go with my friends to Greece. And my mother said, don't you love me? Mother said, the two have nothing to do with each other. No, are we not enough at home? Do you need to go so far away? Mother, I'm... I will allow you to be a mother. Please allow me to be a young man. You know, we need to go and see life and so on. So you need to be able to be yourself in relationships. Not that relationships bind you totally. You need to give affection and receive affection, and you need also to be to think this brings us forward. This is for guidance. I'm growing in this. No. Yes. So these type of relationships, the Harvard study found out, makes you very. It can, when you are in such a relationship with such people, when you are very close and it's affectionate and at the same time you're free. Then when life throws something very difficult at you, let us say you are getting a disease which really limits you, or let us say there is an unfortunate falling out with with other people you are related to. When you have relationships where you are understood, where you can be yourself, where you feel affection and give affection, and where you feel you are getting some inspirations or guidance to move on, then the problems which life throws at you, you can easily digest them. People, it has been seen, people who are in good relationships, for them to be a little bit, the things are difficult, it doesn't matter. But when there are no good relationships, then easy, small things are just killing you. I remember one of the most traumatic experiences of my childhood was when I saw someone in our town. This was a small town, an elderly lady. She was dressed all in black one day, just totally black. She was looked a little aristocratic. I still remember her face was very white, you know, and all in black, very beautiful black dress. But she was going into the pond of the town, the little lake, to drown herself. So we little boys were there and said, no. We called her grandma. Why do you drown yourself? We are here for you. No, my daughter-in-law said something so bad to me. And as we all little boys, you know, no, we give you something to eat. Don't need to eat, And finally, one of us got the intelligence to run to the fire brigade, and they saved this elderly woman. She was already up till here in the water to drown herself. And it turned out, you know, my father told us, he also later got information and he went to speak to this elderly lady. It turned out this elderly lady was only tolerated in her house. She was not met with affection. She was considered to be a burden. And therefore when the daughter-in-law only said one thing, you know, it was not even so super bad, but then she had no way to digest this. There was only loneliness in her heart, desperation. And it was just one sentence. It was not so bad. I forgot what the daughter-in-law said because it's Prajalpa, most probably. It was almost killing her. I very much remember. It was a small town, and then everyone in town just helped the elderly ladies, went by, brought some milk, and you know, and so on. It was very, had a very nice childhood, very personal. The people took care of each other at that time, when the world was younger. My dear devotees, in the Pandavasena, I gave a lecture and I said, you can eat everyday pizza with ice cream. If you have good relationships, you will survive it. But you can munch, if you munch alone on your smoothie and green salad and have no good relationships, you will die from your smoothie and green salad. You follow? That is not an advertisement for ice cream and pizza or for Padmakshi's restaurant. No. I'm just saying, good relationships help you to deal with anything, even pizza and ice cream. You know, the heavy food. You know. So, do you follow what I want to say? If you have no good relationships, then small things might just totally throw you off track, and you will be thrown into despair. Now, there is another thing that stokes the mental fire of sadhana agni. It is something, stokes means it fires it up, it gives it something to burn. It is a favorable circumstances. Imagine a plant. When you put it into earth that is very problematic, which has strong metal toxins in it or anything, then in that flower pot a flower could not grow. If it is toxic earth, it could not grow. So in this way, a human being, if he wants to grow and have a very, very strong fire of digestion, you need to create favorable circumstances in your life. I will start with the physical ones. There need to be enough sleep, a healthy diet, exercises, like if you don't like to exercise, make nature walks, you have a promenade, Bhagavad Gita promenade, very good to do. It's very important. In Radhadesh, I see many devotees who are a little elderly, who are really not healthy. Have you seen? Very, very, because they do not have any exercises. They do not go get out of their houses, which are equipped with good Wi-Fi. But the Wi-Fi is, at least for sensitive people, it is not without problems. So you need the physical things. And we are spiritual people. I don't want to talk about this in great detail. The circumstances need to also, you need to have good association. Very important, my dear devotees. Have good friends. Like in the first point, but this is more about friendships. And then, my dear devotees, stop negative self-talk. Do you know what is negative self-talk? Yes. Is it a clear English word for you? Yeah. Everyone under. What you are, oh, you? Yeah, or you will you can't do it. Oh, this is a bad day. For me, it would be, oh, Sachinanda Swami, you got up so late, now your day is totally finished, and look at your rounds, not very impressive today, and so on. No, I will not allow this. I will say, now I'm alive, now I will chant my best rounds, I will do service the whole day, wow, and so on. No, and you have to stop negative self-talk. The negative self-talk, my dear devotees, that makes your mental fire of digestion, it just finishes it. It's like pouring water on it, you know, negative self-talk. And then you are all in a gray consciousness, you know. And favorable emotion is also connect with your purpose in life. Why are you here? What is your big why? Do you know what is a big why? Your purpose. I always tell the devotees, my dear devotees, this is only one station on your way back to Godhead. Big purpose is to make this life a full success and become a lover of Krishna. No? That if you have such favorable emotions, wow, it goes very nice. And practice also good mental behavior. I have discovered for myself each Tuesday, each Tuesday, where was I last Tuesday? Yeah, I did. Goloka Dham, I was in Goloka. I did in the evening. Each Tuesday, I practice Compassion Tuesday. I think actually of others and pray for them. It's very good. It's very good. I have a long list. Some people are in the hospital. They ask me, can you pray for us, Maharaj? Some people have COVID. Can you pray for us? Yes, tiki. Now this, I'm a priest, I'm a Brahmin. This is my work. I have to do my work. Yes. And also practicing gratitude. Remember our lecture, the yoga of thank you? That is a good mental behavior which you can practice and which will make you your sadhana agni, your mental fire of digestion, very strong. I could give many things, but I don't know. Maybe no one of you takes notes. You're not. Some of you take notes, but you. I will. Most probably, you will be overloaded with informations. You have to create favorable circumstances for you on the physical platform, on the mental platform, and most important, on the spiritual platform. Yesterday we talked to someone who asked us to a spiritual question, and I said, I could give you the answer, but I think at this stage you won't understand it. So it was a very new person. Therefore, I give you another answer. Practice nicely the spiritual practice, and you will see how you will get good answers automatically. For some of my dear devotees who is having a regular spiritual practice which they do with joy in their heart, not because they have to do it, they will find the answers very easily because their mind will become clear. Do you remember Chittodhapanamajanam? The mind is like a mirror and it will be cleansed by the spiritual practice of this verse speaks about Sankirtanam, the chanting together. It will be cleansed by this. And then you can see, my dear devotees, we are not able to see because our mind is often foggy. It's foggy because we have not really digested the many impressions, and we often overthink things, and we remain wandering in circles. So by good spiritual practice, the fog goes out of the mind, the mist, and you can see. Hare Krishna. Chetopatna Paramajanam. There was once a guru. He was dying. And he wanted to find a successor who could take care of the ashram. You could say a new temple president, you know. So there were two disciples which were very likely candidates. The guru wanted to find out which one to take. And so he gave them a very unusual task. He said, go into the hotel and distribute books there, and whatever, and tell me if you have learned anything from the hotel. Now, we are travelers and we sometimes are in hotels, but in the old times, a hotel was considered to be a place you wouldn't really go as a spiritual person. So the one disciple distributed his books and he came back and said, yes, I've distributed my books, I'm back. He said, the guru said, well, that was is good that you distributed books, but I also asked you, is there anything you can learn from the hotel? Guru Maharaj, learn from the hotel? Yes, I asked you. Yeah, don't commit sinful activities. yes, thank you. Anything else? I can't learn from a hotel, said the. So there was the other disciple. He had distributed his books and he stayed for a night. Then he came back and the Guru Maharaj said, so, how was it? Yes, the books are gone. There were many travelers. And I asked you also, is there anything you could learn from the hotel? Yes, Guru Maharaj, you are very wise. I learned something. Please tell. Well, I saw in the morning the hotel owner was taking a piece of cloth and wiping the mirror. So I went to him and said, you're wiping the mirror? For me, it was not very dirty. And the hotel owner said, I do this every morning because I want the guests who are here, they have a clear image about themselves. Said the disciple. And he thought, and he thought, and he thought, and then he understood. Yes, every morning I need to look in the mirror of my heart, and I need to see if all these guests who go through the through my mind, all these thoughts, if they have left favorable impressions. Do you get it? We have so many hotel guests. They are our thoughts. Every person has a hotel up here. And I can guarantee you, you have 33,000 guests a day. It's a huge check-in. And most of them are really bringing a lot of dirt into your hotel, into your mind. Most of them are in the self-negative talk. They are not useful at all for you. They are, oh, this will not work. Oh, no, and this. So you need to check your thoughts, my dear devotees. They are your most important guests. Some of them you should not give any room. They are so dirty. They say, come back when you have taken a bath, you know. But some of you are not careful. You let these thoughts which make your consciousness foggy into your mind. So create physical and mental circumstances in which you can grow. And the last, you know better than your devotees who live in an ashram. Spiritual practice helps you to really wipe the marrow of your consciousness clean from all this fog. Especially regular chanting and meditation while you chant. Meditation, what's that? Yeah, meditation is you hear the holy name and you let it vibrate in your mind. That is the best meditation. It's called sound meditation or mantra meditation, as you know, better than anyone. And that will clear the mind. Also, regular study of the Bhagavatam gives you new perspectives. My dear devotees, Prabhupada visited us in Germany and he said, my criticism against my disciples, and we went like, ugh. You know, he came only after some many years, after 20 years he had come. My criticism against my disciples is, 20 years, is it possible? No, it was a long time, but not 20 years. My criticism against my disciples is, they don't read enough. Reading spiritual texts gives you a new perspective to deal with life. And the last thing I want to say, which helps your sadhana agni to grow, is rise early. Rise early. That is very important for the mental strength. Huh? So I know you will forget everything about this class because you are Hare Krishna, Hare Ramas. But therefore I like to give you a short quote. Strengthen your mental fire, not just the fire of digestion. And to strengthen your mental fire, you need relationships, you need to create favorable circumstances, both physical and mentally, and you need to have good, enlivening spiritual practices in your life. Then you will very, very happily have a very strong fire of digestion. And even if things happen like you die, for instance, really? Yes, I'm serious. If health issues come, if misunderstanding comes, if disappointment comes, even if the time of death comes, if your mental fire of digestion is strong, it doesn't harm you. I remember Prabhupada in this connection. His amazing, amazing spiritual strength. He was in the process of dying, and he had a swelling in the body so that a certain powder was applied to reduce the swelling. And, you know, Prabhupada was lying there all covered with this powder and he started to laugh so loud. And we asked him, why are you laughing? He said, I'm looking like Lord Shiva. I'm so white. What a strong mind, what a strong mental sadhana agni. Krishna. So I have ended my class here. I hope it was valuable for you. you need to strengthen it. And the way Manohar strengthens his Sarana Agni will be different from the way Bhakta Nils strengthens his Sarana Agni. We have to find out ourselves how to do that, no? It's individual, that is what I want to say. We can give some general guidelines, yes, but you need to find out within these guidelines how to have your good strengthening relationship, with whom, how to create favorable circumstances in your life, what that means at this stage in your life, and how you relate to your spiritual practices. You have to find that out. General guidelines are there, but one shoe fits all is a impossible dream. We are individual people. But the guidelines are always correct for everyone, but the details need to be worked out by each one. Good. I have spoken. We'll end here. Let me look at the wristwatch now. Ah, the day is young, the day is early. We have 8 more minutes, so we can look at a question. Manoha is a question. Our Mataji, your good name? Nikunjavasini has a question. So, and our Ramananda? Wonderful, Ray Ramananda. So we will go in this succession. Manoha, please.
Guru Maharaj, if you allow, it's not a question, it's a little comment on mm-hmm. the study.
Yes.
I happened to come across this study, and I just like to say that they looked at 2 extreme groups in the study.
Oh, yeah.
Young boys who had every chance of greatest success in life. Very affluent families, and they also lowest class of children, stricken poverty, with practically no chances of success.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that there is no, there are both areas covered very well. And the conclusion was that the amount of money or properties or position in society. One of the participants was president of the United States.
Wow!
With farm, because they were really from the most influential families, which are best educated.
Thank you for supplying. We're very interested.
And,
yeah.
And as you said, conclusion was none of this mattered really for, mm-hmm. for the fulfillment and happiness.
Fulfillment, yeah.
Only relationships.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Manoha. I didn't know this. Maybe I had heard a little on the side. I didn't notice this. Yes, you understood what Manoha said. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. And once again, it was that much I remember very clearly. Was relationships you can count on. You know, not these. This is a small, quick relationship. Facebook, you know, I like, you know. Nothing against Facebook, but I mean, they must be deeper, the relationships. Good. So there was Nikunjavasini. We have a microphone for you. Yes.
I wanted to ask, what's the difference between humility and self-negativity?
Yeah. What is the difference between humility and this self? What? How do we call this? Deprecation, I think, or self. You're not good enough. Self-negativity, yes. See, I find the definition of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj very workable. He said... a person who is always thinking, oh, I'm not good enough, you know, this, how do we call this? Self-negativity. Yes, self-negativity is a good word. They think so much about themselves. But a humble person thinks, oh, Krishna is so wonderful. The devotees are so wonderful. And the thought of himself appears in a small way, but not, he's not self-obsessed all the time. That I find is a good definition. Mm-hmm. What? Think less of yourself? Think of yourself. Yeah, think of yourself less. That's one thing. That's the self-negative. And think less of yourself is humility. Do you get it? Think of yourself less, or think less of yourself. I'm not good in these things, but I think you are all intelligent with these words. Yes, good. Our Ray Ramananda, yes, yes, Hare Krishna.
How do we best deal with the part of the fuel that we cannot influence? Like, for example, not all circumstances are within our control.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for listening very intently. I always say, try your best, you know, and then be satisfied that you tried. And it is not that difficult, you know. We need all a minimum: food, water, sleep, health, minimum is necessary. But really, in the study, I didn't know this one detail, but I heard there were even people who were ill, you know, where the health was not good and it couldn't be changed. When they had the right attitude and were not bitter about it, there was no problem for them. We had yesterday, we talked with some wonderful devotees about this. I've seen myself when the circumstances, like very austere. I remember, spending Kartik month in India when I was not a known, when I was a brahmachari, and I was just, I remember all I had was a little room where in the night the rats would walk over me. And I come from a different family background. And in the morning, I got up very early and had one little candle and I chanted. And the rats were running around. No problem. I have the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Let them also hear. You know, because the fire was very strong inside by the grace of chanting the holy name. Oh, that was tough. It was at a farmer's place, and there were rats from the agricultural products. They were also in the room, you know. Ah, Krishna has been so kind in my life. He has given me varieties of experiences. Yes, so insight. Therefore, you know, this is our conclusion in this movement, which is a very mature conclusion. The most important is always your spiritual practice, because when you have a strong spiritual practice, you're much more able to deal with these unfavorable circumstances. That's why you find very often highly advanced spiritual people, they prefer poverty. Rupa Goswami? Rupa Goswami. Imagine, Ray Ramananda, Rupa Goswami was, you know, they lived by begging. These were high, they only stayed under trees. They lived, and why? Because they just didn't care about it. It was, had no value. They were drowning in an ocean of love. That was what was going on. I know, we have to live Krishna consciousness on our level, but I'm just saying, by spiritual strengths, you can really deal with a lot of things in the outside world. Good. Now, end of lecture has come. Now we will go into our day. I want to take this opportunity. You are here and you were so kind to come to the morning classes. Always it was a genuine joy to share Krishna conscious philosophy with all of you. And I want to just say something which I have observed. I really feel a lot of blessings over Radha Desh. I really can see it. It's not that I'm just saying it to say something upbeat or encouraging, but you know, you have so many young people who are well engaged, who are absolutely identified with Krishna consciousness, who take responsibilities now. We have for a long time, since a long time, was always necessary a Bhakta program and which has a preaching branch to the Sunday guests. There's a Goshala coming. My God, when you will see when the cows are well taken care of, they will become so much blessings will come over this project. Because Krishna likes cows, so it's very simple. You have happy, happy community members. You have not this, what is so often a disturbance, this very heavy discontent and political maneuvers, maybe a little politics. How can we stay without it, we Hare Krishnas? But is it only a little, not the heavy stuff, you know? I'm sorry, I have a strange sense of humor, I know. And very nice devotees. Manu said something which I found so true. In all other places, we have to run after the people. Here people run to us and come to us. And you know, we have not even started properly because we were under lockdown. Many of you were singing the COVID blues for some time so you have opened just recently for Jamashtami, I think, and slowly it's picking up. So I wish you all the best, and please, all if you are a guest here, consider staying for some time and giving your valuable service contribution to Radha Desh. That would be very nice. Good. We will go tomorrow quite early, I understand, but we will be here today, and in the evening there will be this longer kirtan. I think it starts at 5 o'clock, right? 5 o'clock. We hope to see you all, if possible, or as much as possible. Maybe not from the beginning, but maybe throughout the evening you could all come. Good. I will end here. Thank you very much. All the best for you. And Hare Krishna, Shishi Radha Gopinath ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.